Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And he takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. I got you till 5 o'clock, another 2 hours here until the warm-up show comes your way. So let's get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff and the New York Jets stuff. There's obviously Hassan Riddick as well. But we found out earlier today, I was sleeping at the time, but I woke up to the news. And, the news. What a story this is. Aaron Rodgers is not at mandatory camp today for the New York Jets. It's an inexcused absence, subject to fine, as well as Hassan Riddick, who is a much bigger deal considering he's in a holdout right now. They just traded for him to head to the defense and get some and pass rush. And I talked about that, and we'll get to it in a second. But the Aaron Rodgers part of this story drives me up a wall. I'm sorry. I understand that I've been an Aaron Rodgers guy. I understand that I'm super excited about what he can bring to this team. And maybe I've been, I mean, I feel like I've called him out when needed to call him out. And I understand the line of, hey, you've come out and talked about they need to get out of the business of anything other than what's best for winning, right? That's what the Jets need to be focused on. Anything other than winning needs to be eradicated. And then when brought up the things you mentioned and the things you do, you always call it's the offseason. Well, it's the offseason. And technically, this is kind of the offseason. But for him to say those statements, for him to, you know, challenge the organization in such a way and then miss this first day of mandatory camp after making the media day the day before, the mandatory media day, and Saleh comes out and says, yeah, it's an excuse, it's unexcused and it's, you know, subject to fine. And everybody loses their mind, and I get what Rodgers has said, and I get why people would, but I'm sorry. It's June. It is June. And I don't care what he said, and I've got on him for what he said. And I don't care that he scolded the organization. I got on him for scolding the organization and still going on Pat McAfee, let alone not showing up. But this guy has shown nothing. I'm sorry. I don't know how you see it any other way. This guy has shown nothing but dedication to this team. Nothing. All right, so there was a story for a few weeks that he might run for vice president. He didn't. He didn't. He rushed back from injury as soon as he could. He was around the team every chance he got. From the first day he uttered, I intend to play and I intend to play for the Jets. This guy has been all in with the New York Jets. All in. He gets hurt four plays in, and I understand that. And I understand it's frustrating. And I understand you want your quarterback there. This guy's been there every other day. Voluntary, mandatory, it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers has been there every single day. He's Aaron Rodgers. You know how much time he missed with Green Bay? And it was a little bit of a talking point, but nobody cared. This is Aaron Rodgers. It's one day. He had an event. I understand that when it says, oh, he had an important event. Oh, more important than the Jets? Oh, wait a minute. More important than the Jets? He has done everything. He has wrapped his arms around struggling teammates. He has been there. He has tried to recover from an injury faster than anyone in human history. He tried to come back. He was practicing because he thought that was important at the end of the year. He's gone on, you know, he's done everything with teammates. He's been there for everything, mandatory, voluntary, it doesn't matter. He's talked about wanting to be with the Jets for years. Has he had his fingerprints on who the backup quarterback was? Maybe, and it was a mistake. Did he have his fingerprints on who they responded by getting after he got injured? Maybe, and it was a mistake. Some guys want, you know, control or have an opinion, and, you know, maybe the organization did too much to please him. Oh, I'm open to that. But this guy has done nothing but be there. And the idea that he missed one day in June and that it's a story, it is a non-story. It is absolutely nothing. I don't care what he was doing. He has proven to me. He did not come here and immediately fall back into the ways that we heard about in Green Bay. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. He had come here and immediately created a relationship with the young players, immediately came in here and tried to change the organization, immediately came in here and whether it's defending coaches, defending players, he has come in here and done everything he can to protect this head coach, to protect this GM, to protect his offensive coordinator, to protect his players, putting his hands around offensive line, putting his arms around offensive linemen with real crisis of confidence to the point that the guy's mother comes out and thanks Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's done everything. He's done everything. It doesn't mean they'll win, right? And maybe he talks too much and says a bunch of crazy stuff. And maybe he shouldn't be scolding the organization about winning and keeping it related to football and then go out there and talk to anybody who will listen about whatever he wants to talk about. I get it. I get it. But the idea that he missed this day so he's not all in with the Jets or that it's a conversation, he's one of the great quarterbacks to ever play. He's running an offense, which thankfully they kept the offensive coordinator because this is the exact reason why. Because he's Aaron Rodgers, he might not want to be there every single day, and he knows the offense like the back of his hand. And then you get to the Saleh part of it, where everybody's up in arms about him using this terminology, and he could have come out and put this in a more delicate way. How exactly? There's a union. There are things that have to be said. He can't come out a week ago and say, hey, by the way, guys, he's going to miss this thing on Tuesday. It's an event for him, and you know he's talked to us about it, and you know it's fine. It's fine. No, it's not fine. It's not fine. Because if it's fine for Aaron Rodgers to just not show up, then it'll be fine for everybody else. And everybody else can say, well, I gave the team a heads up. They knew about it. This has to be inexcused. This has to be subject to fine. And that's fine. Aaron Rodgers knows this. Aaron Rodgers is willing to pay any subsequent fines. Or I'm sure Woody Johnson will pay it for him. Like, they didn't do anything wrong. And this is why you need to succeed with Aaron Rodgers. This is why Aaron Rodgers has to be here. Because every single thing that comes up goes right into only the Jets. Every single thing that comes up, it's... And I understand Jet fans are scarred. And I talked about this with Keith on Friday when we both filled in the midday. And we talked about the woe is me nature of New York sports. And I kill the idea that there are Yankee fans out there playing the woe is me card. But Keith, we were talking about all of New York sports. I understand why Jet fans are woe is me. I do. I understand why Met fans can be woe is me. I understand why Knicks fans and Ranger fans. There's plenty of teams that have had disastrous stretches here of 20 plus years. None so more than the last 13 years of the New York Jets. I get it. I get it that the defining moment of your last however many years is a butt fumble. I get it. And Aaron Rodgers going down four plays in. I understand. But the idea we have to rush to this being a story, it's not. It is so not a story. It doesn't matter what he did. It honestly doesn't matter. He's been here for everything. I trust that he's all in. Do you not? Do Jet fans honestly not trust Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be here because he missed one day when he's been here for a voluntary day after day after day and has done everything he possibly could? He goes on Pat McAfee. He talks about all kinds of stuff. whether it's COVID, whether it's Epstein. Yeah, I understand. I understand. And I wish he didn't sometimes. He's allowed to. It's a free country. I wish he didn't, but he does. And then I've gotten on him for the hypocrisy. You could find the WFAN story. I remember they wrote it up. I've gotten on him for the hypocrisy of saying that the organization needs to focus just on winning, and then he's doing all these interviews and talking about it and creating stories. This is not a story created by Aaron Rodgers. Him going out there and throwing around, you know, Epstein and Jimmy Kimmel's name in the same sentence, that's creating a story. That's on him. That's on him. Him entertaining the idea that he wants to be a vice presidential candidate for a third party run that has absolutely no chance, and that's a story. That's on him. That's on him. When Aaron Rodgers, one of the great players in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, a veteran quarterback, a football savant, and a guy who knows this offense like the back of his hand, who has done nothing but consistently show you he is all in with the New York Jets and trying to turn this franchise around. It's all he's shown you. The idea that it's a story that he missed one day in June is not on him. It's not on him. I'm sorry. This one I'm going to defend him on. And it's not on the coach, and it's not on the organization, and it's not on anybody else. Aaron Rodgers missed a day. Michael Strahan didn't show up for all of camp. Like, I mean, come on. The idea he can't be there. The idea that it's a news story that he's added to the name of Hassan Riddick as guys who are inexcused absence. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because honestly, I don't know if we can, like, I don't know how else he can prove to you that he's all in with trying to win with the New York Jets. It might fail in colossal. It might fail at a colossal degree. It might be one of the low points in an already low franchise. Anything's plausible. He could get hurt again. It could be a horrendous decision that haunts this franchise for the next 10 years. I don't know. But what I do know is he's doing everything he can for that not to be the case. Other than missing one day in June, he has done everything he possibly could and been everywhere he needed to be and has tried to connect with the young team, tried to show up at practice and be there for the team, even while he was rehabbing from injury. And yet, we're going to go nuts about him missing one day in June? When he's probably missed weeks of June in Green Bay? I mean, this is just, this one just jumped out at me as we are overreacting to this stuff. Completely overreacting. You know, the Hassan Riddick thing is an issue. I don't like the idea that it, and what you're hearing is the Jets expected him to show up, which I laughed at when I first heard it. But if you listen to the reporting that they had a conversation, that they told him, you know, let's play a little bit and we'll talk about a contract, but we're not going to give you a contract before the season starts. And he sort of understood it. And somewhere along the line, his mindset changed. And again, I will say this. I do not blame Hassan Riddick either. This is a brutal game that takes a toll on your body. And that we see from former NFL players, whether it's CTE or whether it's just the aches and pains of playing in the NFL and what it looks like. What the second half of these players' lives look like. They go out there and literally risk their lives and their future so that I can have an awesome Sunday 18 times a year. If he wants to hold out for money, and especially in a non-guaranteed contract sport where they can cut you at any moment, they don't deem you worthy if the contract is structured as such, I don't blame anybody for holding out. Now, it's frustrating. I mean, I think they need him on some level. You bring in someone like this, the fourth player and ranked in a fourth leader of sacks of the last 4 years in the NFL. Someone who's been a part of a winning program in Philadelphia. Someone whose worst quality is wanting a contract and being sack happy. I would like that player on my team, especially after losing the pass rusher in free agency this year. So they could use another pass rusher. No doubt you can always use another pass rusher. But let's see how it plays out. I expect him. I don't think it's in his best interest to not show up for the games. He's in good shape. He'll be fine. This is what happens in the NFL. A veteran Hall of Fame quarterback missed a day in June, and somebody who's had more sacks than every other player but three over the last 4 years in the NFL wants more money. And yet somehow it's Jets. I mean, this is life in the NFL. A veteran had something to do, and a guy who sacks the quarterback wants more money. This is not a Woe Jets day. This is not an LOL Jets day. And this is certainly not Aaron Rodgers is an all-in day. Because that I don't understand. Like, honestly. Because I'd like to think people get the benefit of the doubt. And that's why, I mean, I think you could look at it just like the Sandy Hook story, right? When you say, when you go on every single radio station and say anything that comes to your mind, and you want to talk about different things, and you want to talk about, like, let's just the government conspiracies or whatever else, and COVID and all this stuff, and science and Fauci, and you want to go on radio shows and say all that, well, then when a story is written about your opinion on another thing, you don't get the benefit of the doubt, and people assume you said it, or people will get mad that you said it. And that's part and parcel of what happens when you decide to say things on radio. That's fine. He denied saying it, whatever, but I'm saying, like, that's when you do things and then something comes along in the same vein, people are willing to believe it. And that's why I'm confused, because in this situation, in this scenario, he has done nothing but show you he is all in with every single step. He's been to everything. He's shown up at every voluntary day. He's been there for everything, every step of the way. He's worked his ass off to try and get back from injury. And even though he probably could have just easily sat on his ass or just rehabbed and not risked further injury by practicing at the end of the year for some run that was never coming and some opportunity to play that was never going to happen, he was still out on the field working his ass off with his teammates. He has shown everything that he is all in with the Jets. And one day brings it into question. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So tell me what you think, Jet fans. Tell me if you're upset Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. Tell me if you're concerned about his all-in level. Tell me if you think yesterday was an LOL Jets day, because I don't. I don't. I don't think the coach did anything wrong. I don't think the player did anything wrong. I think this is what happens in the NFL, and you should be, in my opinion, pretty damn thankful that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of this Jets team, and I expect big things from this team, and I can't wait till it happens. And I'm a Giant fan, but I am so tired of the narrative of and just everything that goes along with this franchise. We are in desperate need of this guy rocking our worlds and shaking our universe and actually having a damn good Jets team, and I believe in this team. I believe in what they've done with the offensive line. Hopefully the veterans can stay healthy and they can have a revamped offensive line. I believe in the talent they've put around Aaron Rodgers. And I believe in Aaron Rodgers. And I believe in this defense. Maybe not the 85 Bears, but certainly one of the better teams in the NFL and certainly one of the better defenses that can win you a championship if you have the offense we all expect. But yesterday meant nothing to this team. Nothing.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 327. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Haven't taken a lot. I've been rambling on enough. But I just don't think this Rodgers thing is a big deal. And I understand that by saying what Salah said, it made it more of a story. I don't know if they can just say, yeah, we knew about it, no big deal. Because then what's stopping, Like I think they I saw I forgot who tweeted it. I wish I would have liked it or kept track. But they were talking about the idea. It was a beat reporter that with all of the rules and like the Jets can't say it's they can't say it's fine. They're not. I don't think they're allowed to say it's fine. They would set a precedent that, I mean, did they have to come out and call it an excuse? Could they have worded it differently? I suppose. But I don't know. It's Aaron Rodgers, man. He missed one day. He missed one day. He's been here every other day. But let's get to the calls. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Before I make my Met Yankee point, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day coming up this Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I get a big kick when you talk about your kids. They sound like they're a handful.
Oh my God, they are certainly a handful.
You tell great stories.
Thank you.
I'm a girl dad. I'm 15 and 19, so I've been doing it with the girls. I can only imagine.
It's funny too because most of the people in my life, whether it's my long term friends, whether it happens to be the new friends I've made in my neighborhood, everyone I know is mainly girl dads. Very few boys among us, between my friends and guys I hang out with now in the neighborhood or whatever. So I'm surrounded by people who just don't understand. Nor do I understand their issues. But I think the way typically is, you know, this age right now that I'm dealing with at 5 and 7, girls are a little bit easier. But then as life goes on, when life goes on, you know, problems will arise, and maybe there are times where it's easy to have boys. I don't know, but right now. I go to other houses and I see kids play and then I see my guys, the tornadoes that come running through their house. And I'm just like, yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Oh, man. And I think it's nice that you're not forcing. Seriously, that you're not going to like force him. Like, I mean, my girl.
I think he'll come around.
Yeah, let him come around.
He's not so much like all in on these teams necessarily. I don't think he's picked the team. Yeah. You know, he saw Patrick Mahomes win the Super Bowl, so he's kind of into the Chiefs. Like his football team's the Eagles. The first game I made him watch, the Eagles beat the Giants in the postseason. I shouldn't say made him watch, but the first game I really was like, Tommy, please sit with me. Let's watch a playoff game together. The Eagles beat the crap out of the Giants. So like he's into the team that wins. Plus he wants to be opposite me. But I think I bought him he got a Volpe jersey for his birthday. He was very excited about that. So he'll come around.
Nice. Yeah. One quick point about the game tonight. It's a small thing, but I understood when he put up McNeil, I was there again watching with my daughter, and I said, this is a good move simply because you forced him to bring in a lefty, then you had Lindor and Alonso up next, and Lindor's been throwing lefties. That's the only reason I thought that was a good move. But
I understand, I understand that point. I mean, I guess that's valid, but I just can't put Jeff McNeil in that spot.
You know, it's funny, and I'm on a bash Yankee. I won't say hater. I mean, I'm a petty, jealous Mets fan. I could have kicked the Yankees at all costs.
It's very big of you to admit that.
I am. I mean, but you got it. They're amazing. And it's funny, thinking back at last year, remember the narrative that, the Mets pivoted and the Yankees should have done the same thing?
Yeah.
And the Mets are in a better spot looking forward? Oh, my God, how that's changed in like five months, huh?
I know. You ain't kidding.
It seems like another world ago.
Yeah.
Oh, we traded Verlander and Scherzer for prospects. Why didn't the Yankees do that?
Yep.
You got to be kidding. Nope. Everything they've
They still have big time prospects, and their prospect. I mean, Luis Hill has come. They traded away all this starting pitching, and they still have Luis Hill.
Can you imagine if this kid Dominguez ever comes up and this is a solid middle of the back order? How scary they're going to be?
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. I don't remember the last time in baseball that the top four teams have been so clear cut.
I know. You're not wrong.
The whole Met thing. This is a baseball point of view. The baseball playoffs this year are going to be insane because you know the Dodgers, Philly, the Yankees, Baltimore, they're all going to make moves at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know Baltimore's going to pick up a starter. They're all going to pick up another batter relief pitcher. And it's really early to look at it, but as it plays out this year, you figure the Yankees will be playing Baltimore early, right? Because whoever doesn't win that division is that top wild card. And so let's say the Yankees have the best record.
They won't play that.
Yeah, they play that the top wild card winner. So you could be looking at Baltimore.
No,
the
they
first
don't.
Round.
They don't. You've got that backwards. The top wild card will play.
Right?
No, the top.
Well, no.
You
winner of four. You play 4 or 5. The two top two wild card teams
play each other.
4 or 5.
Yeah.
Right, and then so that would be Baltimore.
The winner of that wild card then plays the top seed. I think Baltimore automatically gets.
That would be the Yankees.
No. The winner of the two lower wild card teams. The next. I don't think the top wild card team plays the top team in the American in the league. No, they play the least of the division winners. Am I losing it?
No, I think you.
I got to double check. I don't think so. If Baltimore is the top one, right, plays the right. One. That's what I'm saying. One plays the winner of 4 or 5. The top wild cards, that would be the top.
Baltimore.
No, it wouldn't.
Baltimore would be 4.
No, they.
The three division winners are 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, I'm losing it. Yeah, maybe you're right. You're right. I'm losing it. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Well,
you're right. If they win the series, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm losing it.
Well, and then in the National League, if you're looking at Philly, another thing. I hate Philly, but you got to. I mean, Nola Wheeler and this guy Suarez in any series. A Yankee Philly World Series would be crazy. That would be. That would be a tough series, man.
Yeah.
I mean, for baseball, I think that as a Mets fan, our heads would explode. We'd be talking a week like who you're rooting against, and man, that would be tough for me. I don't know what I'd do. I really don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Honestly, I might have to root for the Yankees in that one.
Well, I mean. Yeah, good luck rooting. I mean, rooting for the Yankees will treat you a lot better. But yeah, I mean, listen, they are, and I don't know about Dominguez coming up. I just don't know. I don't know how that would work. I just don't know how they fit it in. Tom in the Bronx, what's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Great show as always.
Thank you, man, Chris. But that's okay.
My thing is, I'm a Rodgers fan. I went from the Packers to the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. I thought I could just buy a jersey to be a fan, but it turns out you have to go through pain and suffering. So,
right.
I think the whole thing with this guy was he had a plan to be in New York for this election, you know? And I think he's using leverage, and I think it's a big game with him. He thought he'd have a good season to rely on, but he blew out his leg. Now he's leveraging his, you know, political views against Johnson & Johnson, you know?
No, I mean, he's leveraging his political views against Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, he's got Kennedy over there. But regardless of that, I mean, he's holding them hostage to the extent that that offensive coordinator ain't there if he's not there.
All right, that's probably fair. But what is that? Yeah, but, I mean, the reason he was brought in was to coach Aaron Rodgers, so... The two of them together, he's not holding them hostage. They're doing what's best for Aaron Rodgers because he needs to be the guy who succeeds here.
Salah must have had it clear to call him unexcused.
I think you have to call. I mean, what are you going to call it? Excused? How can you call it excused and then hold the rest of your team accountable when they don't show up? It's sort of excused, but you have to publicly call it inexcused. Otherwise, everyone else will go, well, how come I don't get a day? I had something that was important to me. Rodgers has to be called unexcused and possibly get penalized, even though the team's okay with it on some level because it's Aaron Rodgers. And then they'll probably either pay the fine, but they can't just set a precedent like, hey, if you give me a heads up, it's excused.
And I agree with you that it's no big deal, but it's just that it's in June and it's another... paragraph in this story of what they, you know, whoever he is to them behind the scenes, because he's pulled in, you know, he has the only equivalent it's forced to him is LeBron, have the way that he can pull guys onto the team or, you know, puppeteer the head coach in the office.
I mean, a puppeteer is a bit much. I understand that once he got into the organization, he was able, I mean, I guess a lot of people will tell you he had a lot to do with Zach Wilson still being the backup. He had a lot to do with some, and he was able to bring some players with him, clearly. But, I mean, I think that's, I mean, it just didn't work. I mean, didn't Tom Brady come into the Bucs and bring Gronk with him?
But you know what it is? And I'm a Rodgers fan, mostly because of some of the way that he is unafraid to have an opinion on things. But right. I think he's using the media of New York to amplify his own opinion.
Okay, that's a different story. That's fine. I on some level, I mean, listen, it's a small world. He was Aaron Rodgers. I promise you. He was already doing, I believe he was doing McAfee before he came to the Jets. If he went on McAfee and threw out Epstein and Jimmy Kimmel in the same sentence, it would have been a big story. All right? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they didn't have to be in New York to be the biggest stories in the NFL. I think it's a small world. Aaron Rodgers is one of, his dating life has been extremely publicized and reported on without him being in New York, whether he was dating Danica Patrick, Olivia Munn, I forget the other actress's name from Big Little Lies and a bunch of other stuff. I forget her name. Wooly, right? I don't think he needed to come to New York to get his views across. I really don't. I think anybody who wanted to have him on a podcast would. And Pat McAfee certainly doesn't, you know, need the New York market for his stories to get out. He can go on, Rogan's podcast whenever he wants, and that would amplify his thoughts. I'm not saying, I think it's we overdo the importance of New York a lot, whether it's, if Juan Soto goes anywhere else, he won't be able to make as much money off the field, or that's just not true anymore. The world is getting smaller by the day. It's just not true anymore, nor does Aaron Rodgers need. If Aaron Rodgers is going to go out there and say things about Fauci and COVID, I promise you, it doesn't matter that he's a Jet or a Packer Los Angeles Charger or a Jacksonville Jaguar. It doesn't matter. I promise you, it doesn't matter. And as far as, I understand the idea that Saleh came out and called it unexcused or inexcused. I get it. But I'm not sure what they're supposed to say. How can they come out and say it's fine? How can they come out and say, yeah, we talked about it, we're cool? I know he's Aaron Rodgers who gets different rules. I get that. And I'm open to that. And there'll be less of a penalty or less frustration inside the organization. And hell, the owner might pay the fine for him. I understand. They might excuse the fine after they announce it. I don't know what they'll do or how upset they are with Aaron Rodgers. I doubt they are. But when you have someone miss a mandatory day, you can't say, well, listen, he gave me a call 2 days ago, so it's cool. Because then everyone else on the team is going to say, you publicly said it's fine to miss days. It's one thing for it to be an written rule or some sort of obvious thing that's behind the scenes. But you can't come out publicly and say it's fine. I don't think you can. I don't think you can come out and say, Rodgers missed today, it's cool. I don't know what they expected the coach to say. I really don't. He's got to come out and say it's not cool. He's not here. Otherwise, what are they doing? But we know it's not a big deal. We know it doesn't matter. We know that it's inexcused, kind of excused. Who cares? It's June. It's one day. We all understand that, but they can't come out and publicly say that. So when they say that, the Jets created this mess themselves on some level, but I don't know what wordage they could have used to make this story not a story. Without setting a precedent of other players saying, hey, I'm going to miss a day too. Here's my 2-week notice. I got something very important to me. I got a Madden tournament. My buddy runs it every year. I'm going to miss next Wednesday, just so you know. We're cool? You were cool with Rodgers. He was out there, stumping for Kennedy, and that was fine. So I guess, what I want to do is fine. It is inexcused. Rodgers knew it. When Rodgers told him he wouldn't be there, he was aware of it. And it was such an important event to him that he's willing to take any kind of punishment or fine. And then tomorrow, no one cares. I don't find it as a big deal at all.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:46, McMonagle here with you. You know, I'm a huge baseball guy. You know that about me. I talk about baseball a lot. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. And I've also been someone who's gotten on the Yankee fan occasionally, more than occasionally. Whether it's the most recent chanting, "We want Soto," during the Trent Grisham at bat, the booing of fans. Me and Marash got into it when we used to work together with CMB about booing Giancarlo Stanton the first day he ever put on pinstripes. Like, the fans can be tough on the Yankees. And I feel like sometimes to the detriment of certain players, like Gallo and Hicks, and booing, I scolded the fans a few weeks ago when they were booing Aaron Judge. But I would rather have that than what happened last night in St. Louis, where the perceived great fan base of the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's what you hear. Oh, the Cardinals, they have the best fans in the world. They have the best fan base in baseball. They love, they never boo, they cheer, they love their team. There's no issues in St. Louis. It's just a great, great place to play. Players love to go play there, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of been a discussion with the Yankees. Do players view it as a tough place to play? Do they afraid to go get booed? Did certain players look at Judge being booed in the playoffs after the 22 season and think, oh, this is impossible. What a tough crowd. And some guys thrive in it, and it is what it is. Sometimes it goes over the top, but we love our team. We also hold you accountable. But what happened in St. Louis last night, I'm sorry, I can't understand. And I think it's an absolute joke and an embarrassment. And I understand, like, I'll defend sometimes when we get, what happened to the players used to, you know, hate each other and there were rivalries and now everybody's all kumbaya. And sometimes I'm like, oh, what do you expect? It's a union thing. But fan bases shouldn't be like this. And what an absolute disgrace from the Cardinals fan last night. I'm going to play you something right now. And what happened in St. Louis is they were taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates last night. And they were facing the young phenom who's come up and been excellent for the Pirates, Paul Skeens, who's been really just unbelievable. Has come up, he throws over 100 miles an hour, he's got filthy stuff, and he's kind of been one of the more nice and fun and surprising stories of the Major League season this year. So they were playing in St. Louis last night. And Paul Skeens was taken out of the game in the seventh inning, bottom of the seventh. The score is tied 0-0, and he's got a runner on second base with one out. So he's pitched 6 1/3 shutout baseball. He's leaving with a runner on, and he's walking off the mound. And this is what happened in St. Louis. This is how the St. Louis fans reacted to Paul Skeens being taken out of the game.
He'll leave with a runner at second, one out.
Look at this, Greg.
Yeah, we got Cardinal fans Cardinals giving fans. Him a standing ovation.
Incredible.
Incredible. I agree. Absolutely incredible. Can you imagine a Baltimore Oriole, a Boston Red Sox, a Tampa Bay Ray, walking off the field after shutting out your team through 6 1/3 and giving that player a standing ovation for a job well done? That is outrageous. And if I were a player, as much talk as the Yankee fan gets for booing and it's a tough crowd, it's that. Can you imagine sitting in the dugout and your fan base just applauded the guy who shut you down for 7 innings? That and people actually think that's nice and good for baseball? What an embarrassment. That is a joke. I don't know what I would do if I were in the stands and an opposing player got a standing ovation. You want to give a golf clap in the 8th or 9th inning if the Yankees break up a no-hitter and you give a slight little golf clap? Fine. But you can't give a standing ovation to a guy walking off the field, giving up no runs and 6 1/3, shutting down your team, a divisional opponent nonetheless, a standing ovation as he walked off the field. And if you watch the video on Twitter, there's a guy right in the camera view tipping his cap, taking off his Cardinal hat and tipping it to the pitcher as he walks off the mound. Are you crazy? And yeah, and then I look at the comments on the post, and St. Louis is the best. Kid has been great for the sport. Nice job, St. Louis. Real classy, St. Louis. Nice. That's pretty cool. Hand clapping emoji. They know baseball in that town. Game recognizes game. Are you serious? Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. I'm sure. Why weren't the Met fans applauding Lizardo after striking out Alonso for the umpteenth time in his career? Game recognizes game. Damn, this is awesome. Classy move by the home crowd. They know what they witnessed. Cardinals fans like good baseball. Classy move. Good fans. These fans know the game. Hats off to them. Are we serious? You're going to applaud opponents? I know it's a game in June, all right? I know. It's not a playoff game or anything, but this is a divisional opponent. This is the enemy. He's just shut you down. Again, breaking up a no-hitter or a perfect game late in the game, and you want to give a golf clap. I'm sort of okay with that on some level. I don't know if I would do it. I don't boo my own team, and I don't applaud the other team. Those are the kind of rules that's the only thing I kind of go by.
It is June, but the eventual loss, because the Pirates did win this game,
right,
had the Pirates jump the Cardinals in the standings,
yeah,
and bump the Cardinals into last place in the NL Central.
They're in last place and applauding the guy who did it to them. Are we serious? And I mean, I don't know why I'm getting annoyed by the Cardinal fans, but I did not expect that. I know the old cliche, I didn't see that on the bingo card. I didn't wake up today and think the St. Louis Cardinal fans would get me in a tizzy. But here I am, because that's obnoxious. That is absolutely obnoxious. Can you imagine? And think of it the other way, too. Think of it right, like if Luis Gil threw his 7 scoreless innings against the Red Sox in Fenway and walked off the field and the Red Sox fans applauded him, I would be like, what are they trying to do? What, are they trying to throw us off our game? I'd be pissed. I'd be like, are you patronizing us? But, I mean, the other way, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what just happened if it happened at Yankee Stadium. I mean, you imagine Corbin Burnes walking off the mound at Yankee Stadium as the Yankees get overtaken by the Baltimore Orioles for first place, and he threw 7 1/2 shutout innings, 7 1/3, and he walks out of the 8th inning, and the Yankee fans give him a standing ovation? I would never come back. I would never come back to Yankee Stadium. I would be this close to renouncing my fandom. I mean, that is obnoxious. And I know they have I know they have the reputation for it of cheering everything, right? Yankee fans boo everyone. Dodger fans leave early. Cardinals cheer everything. I get it. Game recognizes game. Whoever wrote that comment, shame on you. You're in last place. You're the Cardinals. You've won more world championships than any other team this side of the Yankees. And this is what now we're applauding last place. As the young phenom comes in and shuts you down, oh, great. You got to see a nice pitching performance. Bravo. I just love baseball. Oh, my God. What a joke. That, and then the broadcaster, oh, laughing about it. Oh, that was the Pirates broadcast? Okay, still, he shouldn't be laughing about it. He should be like, what the hell's going on here? Maury in Belmore, what's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
You know, I can't believe that they would even do that. Never happened at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, I was with
or City Field. I mean, but I'm the Yankee fan. But, like, it can't happen here. It's obnoxious.
I saw Pedro strike out 18 Yankees live in person, and I wasn't clapping for him. I was impressed. I thought it was incredible.
Well, of course.
180-pounder. Very, very, you know, they only scored one run. I think somebody stuck his bat at mid home run. My point is this. I would never give a standing ovation. And the fact that that win put your team in last place, what's going on, St. Louis? The world is upside down. And you know what? I'll take booze over cheers for the other team any day of the week. You know what I mean, Chris?
No, I mean, I'm with you, Maury. I agree. And I've gotten on Yankee fans for booing. Shame on me, because you're 100% right. I would rather have a fan base that boos its own players than applauds the enemy. I mean, you can't do that. How can you watch that game? Because you're right. We've seen great performances. Do you think my takeaway from the Bloody Sock game is what a great performance? Wow, that Curt Schilling. Or do I think that's phony? He was, you know, putting red paint on his sock to make it. That's what I think. I think it was all made up. I don't think, oh, what a great, oh, that Curt Schilling, unbelievable. If I ever shake his hand, if I ever get to see him, I'm going to tell him what a great performance that night. Oh, thanks a lot. I happened to be lucky enough to be at that game at Yankee Stadium when you shut down the Yankees. Great. Oh, thank you, Pedro, for sending Alfonso Soriano and Derek Jeter to the hospital in the first inning. I really appreciate that. You really know how to intimidate us. What an absolute joke. That's an embarrassment. So you know what, Yankee fans? Here's my apology to you. I'm sorry. You're right. Boo everyone. I don't care who you boo. Boo everybody. Just don't applaud the other team. Because I'm telling you right now, if Corbin Burns were to walk off the mound beating the Yankees, I honestly, if there was a standing ovation for him walking off the mound, I would leave. I would leave and I shall never return. And I don't think Susan Waldman could figure that out between me and the Yankee fan. I don't. She might have been able to figure out Yogi and George. Me and you would be broken. Because I can't imagine. Cannot imagine. Did you see what happened in St. Louis?
I did. It's a total disgrace.
Oh, my God.
Have some self-respect.
Can you please have some self-respect? Exactly right. Can you imagine in any other venue, on any other thing, in any other sport, applauding the man as he walked off the field after kicking your ass? I can't imagine it.
Look, I know they're leaning into this. We're the classiest of fans all across the country. Stop. Yeah. Stop. I mean, the guy takes it and shoves it up your rear end, and you thank him for it?
Yeah, and they lost that game, and now we're in last place.
Please.
The Pirates jumped them into last
and
place.
And last time I checked, it wasn't a perfect game. He threw 6 1/3
right.
scoreless.
Right.
And your own pitcher was actually out dueling him.
Yeah, I know.
Again, have some self-respect.
And that's what I said. A golf clap for someone who loses a no-hitter in the ninth or something, I could live with. But not a standing ovation coming out of the game in the seventh inning, walking off the field to tip of the cap, and oh my God.
Respect is one thing. We all respect it. When you watch a competitor, whatever it is, and you look at it, you're like, damn, this guy's really good. Yeah. Like that's one thing.
Right.
To actually applaud it,
yeah. When you're in person?
I mean, honestly, it's almost like the equivalent of we get into a fight, you kick my ass, and then I let you take my wife to dinner. Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
No, exactly. It's exactly like that. Or like you get into a fight at a bar, and then all your friends applaud the guy as he walks away as you're laying there bloody.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Embarrassing. All right. 808 is the second three digits. 888. I can't just let it go. I always got to like point out that I'm a moron. I should just keep moving along, but I have to point it out.